You know that the purpose of baseball is to score runs. And that the way you score a run in baseball is you take a bat, somebody throws the ball, you hit the ball. And you hope to get to first, then second, then third, then home, you get a run. Remember the game? Very simple. So whenever a person stands up to the plate, their goal is to hit the ball that the pitcher throws. Many of you have stood before such a pitcher, softball or baseball. I have as well. On the professional level, people get paid for this. And sometimes they're paid insane amounts of money that have nothing to do with reality. And that's another sermon. So please know that I don't support that kind of excess. But the game itself still is simply throw the ball, hit the ball. So imagine how Bill Bergen felt when after 10 times playing for the Dodgers years ago, he hadn't had a hit. And then it was 20 times. Then it was 30 times. 0 for 30. Now, you who are baseball fans know that this guy's now getting really razzed by the team. He's really in trouble with the coach. And the fans, well, forget it. 0 for 40. He is the one in the history books who went the longest. 0 for 46 before he got a hit. Now, that was back in 1908. Some of you will know Robin Yount, a more modern baseball player, but he went 0 for 41 in his rookie year. 0 for 41. But he went on to have a great career with the Milwaukee Brewers. The purpose is to hit the ball. And even if you miss the ball, even if you strike out, if you're on the team and in the game, you get another at bat. And another one. And another one. And so today we're thinking about how that truth of baseball relates to spiritual truth on the theme of perseverance. Because you see, Robin Yount, Bill Bergen, both of them had to keep getting up at bat. Imagine what it took for them as professional baseball players, certainly failing, certainly feeling embarrassed to have to get up again and again. They just kept taking those at bats. Until things changed. They persevered. Now the Bible has a lot to say about perseverance. You want some great examples of perseverance? Read the full story of Moses persevering with those stubborn Israelites in the desert. Read about David and how he persevered for some 10 years under the threat of Saul, who was trying to kill him as he hid out in the desert. The perseverance of Joshua. And in the New Testament, the perseverance of Paul, who insisted on going forth to teach and to preach in spite of great, great resistance and persecution, or of Peter or the other disciples. The Bible does have a lot to say. We need to hear it because you know that life is hard and that there are many major, major challenges in life. And I'm not talking about going 0 for 40 in baseball. I'm talking about unemployment. I'm talking about the illnesses which strike you out of the blue. I'm talking about family brokenness and hearts being broken. I'm talking about the things that life does to us that makes us want to give up, makes us want to crawl under the bed, makes us want to stop getting up in the morning. Yeah, life is hard. And so the Bible has lots to teach us about persevering as Christian people. People who just keep getting up, going on, getting up, going on, getting up, going on. The first passage Susan read is one of the two we look at today from the writer of Hebrews, an unknown writer who was writing to Christians who were losing their faith somewhere around the year 80 A.D., Jesus had risen from the dead, indeed. And the faith was growing and the church was growing, but persecution became extreme. To be a Christian in those early days, as well as after that, was sometimes to take your life in your hand. You were rejected often by your family or your friends for walking away from the ancient faith of the Jewish people. And you were going against the might of Rome, who said that Christianity is an illegal religion And so the writer of the Hebrews is writing encouragement to people who are about to give up on their faith. Any of you ever thought about giving up on your faith? Just saying, it's not working, it's not real. Maybe. But the writer of the Hebrews had some specific folks in mind when he wrote some powerful words. He wrote, "Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us set aside every sin and weight that clings so close, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was before him, endured the cross and now is seated at the right hand of God." The essence of our faith in one sentence. Calling those Christians who are about to give up that faith to persevere. And then James, the brother of our Lord, the one who was charged in his life after the resurrection with being a leader of the church in Jerusalem. And James likewise writes, "But further abroad to all the tribes," he says, meaning to all Christians everywhere, about standing firm and persevering in the face of this persecution. And he would write, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." Powerful words, and a powerful and an important idea that we don't often look at. And James is basically saying, it's going to be hard for you Christians to hold on to your faith. It's going to be difficult. You will face persecution. It will be difficult. James would say to you and to me today, it is hard, Christians, today to keep your faith in a secular world. In a society where you go to work and nobody wants to hear about it. In fact, you mention it and you can get fired. In a world where people are laughed at for having any faith, and where the name of Jesus is considered an offense to many. Oh yes, it's hard to persevere in your faith at home, at work, on the streets. But who, if not the church, must persevere and continue holding forth the name of Christ, holding forth the hope of salvation? Who but us? We must persevere and be strong and take counsel from James and Hebrews. As we have been working this month with the theme of baseball, it is for the singular purpose of using that sport as a metaphor, as an example of how we can learn truths that we find in the scriptures and in life. And it's been fun for the first few days, and here we are in the second week, and in the first week alone, we've had fun. At least I have. Maybe I hope some of you have, as you've talked and considered and thought about this game, which does have much to teach us. People are telling me stories, handing me articles, sending me links online. And indeed, some memorabilia is outside. We're going to a semi-pro game on Friday night, and simply using this as a way to bring us together, because it is a sport that can bring people together. And so we continue that today. And we focus on one man in the world of baseball who has become so famous, not so much for his athletic skill, but for his courage in facing what is wrong. I speak of Jackie Robinson, one who in history stood against the racism, the bigotry, the prejudice, the hate of this society, our society, folks, just some 60 years ago. And as he stood against it, he has become the symbol of one who, by courage, faith, and strength, persevered. Jackie Robinson, as a young man, a gifted athlete, was noted by one Jack Branch Rickey. And you've heard the story many a time. Branch Rickey, the owner of the Dodgers in 1947, felt it was God's will that he integrate professional baseball. He said that. You know why? Because Branch Rickey was a devout Christian. Not only that, he was a Methodist. Did you know that? Branch Rickey was a Methodist. His first name wasn't Branch. His first name was Wesley. Wesley Branch Rickey. Wesley, after the founder of Methodism. He went to Ohio Wesleyan College, where his Methodist roots were strengthened. And then as he grew and became influential in baseball, he saw in a young man the combination of qualities that were needed to integrate baseball and to ultimately change our society. At one point, Branch Rickey said, "Robinson's a Methodist because Jackie Robinson was. I'm a Methodist. God's a Methodist. We can't lose." And so this young man becomes for Branch Rickey a project, a dream, a vision to do what is right in God's sight by breaking down the horrific walls of racism and to bring a new light to this society. I would like you to look now at a brief clip about Jackie Robinson so that you can understand this man as we then look at the lessons from his life and from the scriptures. Let's take a look.
When Jackie Robinson took the field for the Brooklyn Dodgers on opening day, April 15, 1947, he forever changed the face of Major League Baseball. American to play in the majors in the 20th century, shattering the so-called color barrier, a 50-year-old tradition of segregation. Initially shunned by fans and even his own teammates, the infielder focused instead on being the best in the game. Robinson's raw talent soon gave Dodger fans reason to look beyond his skin color. By the end of his first season, he had racked up 12 home runs and a league-leading 29 steals, and took home the league's Rookie of the Year award. In 1949, he was named the National League's most valuable player, with a batting average of .342. Despite his all-star status, life for Jackie Robinson was far from easy. On the road, he was forced to stay in separate hotels. And he had agreed in his contract to turn the other cheek when faced with racial insults and threats of physical violence. Robinson kept his word and his views. In the decade he was with the Dodgers, the team played in 6 World Series, finally winning the championship in 1955. When Robinson retired from baseball in 1956, he became an outspoken champion of civil rights. Jackie Robinson wrote, "The right of every American to first-class citizenship is the most important issue of our time." Robinson's success has opened the floodgates for fellow African Americans. Within the first 5 years of his career, another 150 black baseball players have been signed to the minor and major leagues. In 1962, Jackie Robinson became the first African American inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. His pioneering achievements, both on and off the field, broke down racial barriers and helped awaken America's conscience.
Now, friends, you don't have to be a baseball fan to know that through that one life, God's will was done and God's plan was furthered. And so we look at that life as we look at the Scriptures at the same time. And we are reminded of some lessons about persevering. The first lesson is that when you have to persevere through your health crisis, through your family brokenness, through the financial mess, through the trouble, first, look around you. Look around you. Hebrews reminds us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. He writes, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance. What does being surrounded by other witnesses mean? It means we look around us when we have to persevere and we realize that God has put other people all around us so that we can get through the journey. That's the whole point of God's design of putting us together in families, in friendships, in communities, and in churches. We are together. We are surrounded. When you have to get through whatever you have to get through, you can persevere because you are not alone. Look around you for the people, the witnesses of faith God has put there. Who did Jackie Robinson look to? He looked to his mother, for sure, in his early years. His mother, a faithful Methodist Christian who went to church all the time and raised Jackie in the church and in the faith. Oh, yes, like so many young people, he wandered and wavered for a little while. But she kept at it. When he looked around, he saw his mother. When he looked around, he saw his pastor of the Methodist Church. That's right, Carl Downs, his name was. He was a young pastor, and Carl took a special interest in Jackie Robinson in his early, early years. He saw the athletic skills, so the pastor would go to the football games on Saturday where Jackie was playing and displaying his great skill. But then on Sunday morning, he'd be sure that Jackie Robinson was not only in church as a teenager, but was teaching Sunday school in the Methodist church. That pastor walked the sidelines during football games, counseled Jackie Robinson during life's challenges, and stood strong with him as he moved into his famous career. Jackie looked around and he saw his pastor. He looked around and he saw his church. Because you see, whenever Jackie would walk into a church just like you, you see other people. And that African American church was existing in a time of great sinful racism and bigotry. There was strength from each other as they came together in God's truth and then had to go out into a world that treated them like dirt. But Jackie Robinson looked around and he saw the church. Now, I don't know whether your mother or father was influential in your life, and I don't know whether I am, but all I know is this. When you look around, you will see people. That's why it's so important to stay close to the church when you have to persevere through something, because you're in the journey with others. And we're all persevering through something, folks. Some of you are right now persevering through a hard time, and others will, but others have learned some great spiritual lessons of how you've persevered through something in the past. We do it together. The counsel of Scripture, the example of Robinson, when you have to persevere, look around and see this great cloud of witnesses that God puts in our lives to help us walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Another place to look is to look within yourself when you have to persevere. You see, when we're going through those valleys, that's the time to decide what you really believe. So many times, the faith, the Scripture passages you know, the songs that you sing, sound wonderful. But when you finally have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and persevere to get there, that's the time you've got to decide whether you really believe it. You look within. And you ask yourself, am I a Christian? Am I going to follow Christ getting through this? James says this, let perseverance finish its work that you may be mature and complete. Within that important sentence is the teaching that God has a plan for us to become mature and complete. And yes, whether we like it or not, the problems, crises, challenges, and injustices of life often God allows so that we can become complete and mature, so that we can get there. So you look within for the inner strength, the inner faith, to walk through that valley. You can imagine that when Jackie Robinson was on the field that first year, when teammates were distancing themselves, and some not so kindly, when fans in the seats were yelling racial slurs that we'd be embarrassed to say here, when catchers were spitting on his cleats as he stood in the batter's box, you've got to believe that Jackie Robinson felt all alone there, except that within he had his faith. And that's what got him through those moment-by-moment valleys. And that's what we do. We look within and we ask ourselves, what do I really believe for a moment such as this? Because he wasn't doing it just because of his contract. He wasn't doing it because he was trying to break civil rights. He wasn't doing it because he was making a lot of money. He was doing it because of what Branch Rickey told him when he signed him to that contract. Yes, the Bible-thumping Methodist Christian Branch Rickey, when he signed Jackie Robinson to his contract, gave him a copy of a book. Not the Bible, but almost. It was a book about the life of Christ. And right there in his office, Branch Rickey opened the book and showed him the chapter about the Sermon on the Mount. And he taught Jackie Robinson what Jackie had been taught in Sunday school, that we are to turn the other cheek when people offend us as Christians, that we are go the second mile, that as the scripture says, though some believe an eye for an eye, Jesus says you will love your neighbor and you will bless those who persecute you. That's what was within Jackie Robinson to get him through. Those are the kinds of things I pray, I do indeed, that are inside of you, in your mind and heart, that you believe, that you know to be true, and that you will trust to get you through that valley when you have to persevere through the hardest things that life will give you. And finally, we look around, we look within, but of course we look above. We look at God. And we know God's everywhere, but that just fits. Look within, around, and above. And so Jackie Robinson looks to God time and again, he says. And that's what the scripture counsels as well. Though we're going through this difficult time, we keep our eyes on Jesus, says the Hebrews writer, looking to Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. So you keep your eye on God, believing, as I and I hope you do, that no matter what you're walking through, God is with you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you alone. And so Jackie Robinson reports that many a time he got on his knees in his hotel room and prayed his way through what had happened and what would happen to him in those early years. We look around, we look within, we look above, and we get through. We get through by the power of God, whatever we're facing. That's how to persevere in faith. There's another baseball player that has caught my attention over the years. His name is Dave Dravecki. Dave Dravecki played baseball for the Giants a long time ago. He was an all-star for the Padres in 83, traded to the Giants in 87, and was pitching famously for the Giants in 1989. Dave Dravecki, a very gifted pitcher, a gifted athlete, and a devout Christian. And then it was discovered that Dave had a cancerous tumor in his pitching arm, and that he had to have surgery, significant radical surgery, and that happened in October of 88. He wanted to come back, though, and he wrote a book about coming back, but he couldn't. He couldn't come back, and they had to amputate his arm and ended his career. But his faithful Christian devotion found Dave at the end of his book writing this. He said, there's no guarantee I'll get well, that I'll overcome this cancer, even that I'll live another 10 minutes. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was crucified and risen. And He is the ground of my peace. And with Him, I can face every adversity. Well, you may not ever be a famous baseball player. You may not ever have a great canvas of society to show how you persevere. But you have the trials, the journeys. You have the valleys and the troubles. And so do I. And so, let us remember these baseball players, but far more, let us remember the counsel of Scripture to run with perseverance this race that is set before us, no matter what we're going through. And that as we do, we look to Jesus, the pioneer and a perfecter of our faith, who will be with us, getting us through. And you will get through.